Good morning and welcome to worship on this second Sunday of Advent. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. In this season of Advent, we have many things going on in our church community. They are listed in the bulletin. They are in the holly leaf. And so hopefully you've been seeing them, but I want to lift up a couple of things for your information. One, we received some angel tree names on Wednesday. They're actually due back this Tuesday, and I know that's a really quick turnaround. But I think Carol said there's one left on the tree. So if anyone would like to take that, or if you want to do half with somebody, there are a couple people who are willing to do, you know, split it. Go ahead and take that, and I can connect you if you want to split it with somebody. But it needs to be back here in a black garbage bag by Tuesday so that they can be delivered to Davis Townsend on Wednesday. I also want to thank all of you who have signed up to sponsor a child at Davis Townsend for the backpack program. We have 26 children completely covered for this school year, and I'm so grateful for that. Absolutely, yes. Yes. If you would like to sponsor a child at Davis Townsend and provide food for them on the weekends, you can pay monthly $13 a month. If it's easier to write a check and pay for the whole school year, it's $117. But we'd love for you to take a little person off the tree, take it home and put it on your fridge so that you can pray for that child. Because I imagine that a lot of the children who are in need of backpacks probably have some struggles and challenges in their life. So if you are interested in taking one of those kiddos, take a person off of the tree. Our basket offering is a little bit different in December. Instead of the first and third Sundays of the month, we're doing it the first and second Sundays of the month. And this is for staff bonuses. And so we'll take that basket offering up today after our normal offering. We have been really enjoying this Sunday school class on how the Grinch stole Christmas, and we would like you to join us if you haven't so far. Next week, during the Sunday school hour, for those that haven't seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, we're going to watch the animated version and have some discussion. And then we're actually going to have our third and fourth sessions on the following two Sundays, the 22nd and the 29th. And so if you'd like to join us, I've really enjoyed the thought-provoking conversations that we have had. In the holly leaf, you may have seen a graphic with a Holly Grove shirt on it. We've had some requests for Holly Grove shirts, and so we are offering through next Sunday, we need orders in by next Sunday, golf shirts, t-shirts, and sweatshirts. You can get them in black, gray, or white. It has the Holly Grove Lutheran Church logo on it. I think there's somewhere like $8 for t-shirts and $10, $12 or something like that for sweatshirts. I can't remember exactly. But if you'd like to order that, the golf shirts are because we thought that Cameron would like to match his pawpaw on Sunday mornings. And so if you want to match somebody, all you have to do is click on this picture in the holly leaf and it'll take you to the form to order. But if you want to order in person, contact Mary Davis and she'll take care of all of that for you. And if you would like a Holly Grove shirt and things are just a little tight with Christmas, don't let that stop you. Reach out to us and we'd like to help provide that for you. Church Council is tomorrow evening and all newly elected members need to be there, so please make sure that that's on your schedule. We're continuing our Wednesday evenings with dinner at 5:30 and worship at 6:30. This week, Agape is providing different soups for us to eat, and I officially have word that the men's group is providing chicken and dumplings from Southern Lunch on that third Wednesday in Advent. So I know that's a favorite of a lot of folks. I want you to think ahead to two Sundays, the fourth Sunday of Advent. That's going to be our Children's Sunday. I think it's really important for children to have the opportunity to worship in a way that is engaging and meaningful for them with the Christmas event. And a 9 o'clock service on Christmas Eve isn't that helpful for children and for families. And so we are setting that fourth Sunday aside for children to worship Christmas in a way that's meaningful to them. And some of our children are providing for us a Christmas play. So please make sure that you attend worship that day. There are a couple of things happening next Sunday that Karen Beck and Kim would like to talk about. The Christmas cookie exchange after worship and caroling after that next Sunday. So they're going to come up and talk a little bit about that.
Good morning. So the Fellowship Committee and Agape Circle are sponsoring luminaries. If they are a more permanent luminary that we can use year after year. So if you're interested in sponsoring a luminary in honor or memory of someone, it will be $10. So you can just put a check in the offering and just put luminary on the four line. And that's, I think we'll put these out maybe the weekend before Christmas so we can have them burning through the Christmas season. We've got solar lights to go inside so that when it gets dark, they'll come on. And so I think it'll be a nice addition to our Christmas. And we will be going, Agape will be going Christmas caroling next Sunday after the cookie exchange. But I guess we need to bring some finger food so we can have some lunch before we go caroling. So if Agape wants to just bring some finger foods, we'll have that. We'll have cookies, and then we'll go Christmas caroling. Thank you.
Although I think cookies would be a nice lunch as well. So.
Good morning, Holly Grove. Well, it is that time of the year again, and we just want to mention to you that our cookie exchange, as you've heard, is next Sunday. So we just ask that you bring a batch of cookies to share. It'll be fun. We have prizes. We're going to have beverages. It'll be a fun time. If you remember last year, we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Well, I will have to tell you, we were supposed to have a special guest today. Unfortunately, he had a prior commitment, couldn't make it, but he did send out his cookie crew. So, cookie crew, please stand up. Cookie Monster promised to try to make it next year, so we'll see. Ladies, have I forgotten anything to mention?
Bring your container.
Bring your, yep. Yeah, stock up for Christmas, and again, we'll have a lot of fun. There will be some extra containers if you don't have one, so don't worry about that. We've got it all covered. So thank you. Hope you have a great week, and see you next Sunday for the Cookie Exchange.
We have one birthday this week, Madison Lore Pope. And remembering their baptism today are several folks: Carolina Conrad, Greg Kepley, Kim Troutman, not listed, Pam Conrad Jackson, who has transferred her membership back to Holly Grove, but she also celebrates her baptism today, and Ava Murphy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And lastly, we have a prayer shawl this morning. This is a friend of Jody's, Sarah Kuntz. Sarah Kuntz, okay. Sarah Kuntz has an autoimmune disease and is struggling with that, so we will bless this prayer shawl for her. God, we thank you that you are our Emmanuel, that you are always with us, and that you hear us every time we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the gift of our prayer shawl ministry and ask that you bless this prayer shawl for Sarah, that as she feels the weight of it upon her shoulders and upon her lap, that she would feel the weight of our love and care for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, alive in the world, reviving creation, arriving soon. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned. We trust earthly powers and human authority and leaders above you. We grow fearful. We cling to false comforts. God of might, we confess that we have sinned. We have turned away from our neighbors. We have trusted false promises. God in our midst, we confess that we have sinned. We plead, come to us. Bring your mercy to birth in us. A righteous branch springs forth. It is Christ the Lord, our Savior, in whom we have forgiveness and life and mercy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the grace and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, whose day draws near. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the Nelson family forward to light the Advent candles this morning. Brantley, can you go get the candle lighter? That's perfect. And can you get the flame from one of the candles for us? Last week, we lit the candle of hope. This morning, we light the candle for peace. Sawyer, will you light these front two blue candles, please? So this morning, we light one candle for peace, because the world is broken and the wait is long. But we refuse to be frozen by fear. Peace comes in fits and starts, a deep breath, a courageous truth, a humble heart. "Prepare the way," she whispers, "for the Lord to come make the broken whole." And so we light one candle for peace today, because it only takes one. Christ is with us. Thanks be to God. We'll now sing together the second verse of "In a Far Off Place, Jesus Comes." I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Brantley wants to, hello, sweet Annie. Oh, good morning, my dear. I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, thank you for being here today. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. And here's Maddie. Good morning, Maddie. And Sawyer has a, or excuse me, Brantley has a surprise. Do you want to share with everybody what your surprise is? Brantley got a Christmas card in his box this morning, and he loves it. Yes, that's a good surprise. That's a good surprise. Well, this morning's children's sermon is inspired by Maddie. So this week, the men's group had their dinner, and Maddie's dad, Brandon, played guitar, and we sang some songs. And one of her favorites is Jingle Bells. And when she sings or thinks about Jingle Bells, Maddie also sings, "Holidays, holidays, holidays of love." And so Brandon shared that with us this week. It was actually on the music sheet, "Holidays, holidays, holidays of love." And it touched my heart so much. You know, there is often a song in children's hearts, but to hear that those are the words in Maddie's heart, it just brought a lot of joy to my heart. And you know, some people think that it's not okay to say happy holidays, but actually it's a really faithful thing to say, because the word holiday comes from the old English word that means holy day. And in the church, there are holy days where we celebrate and remember different things in the life of Jesus. We remember his birth. We remember when the wise men went to visit him. We remember when Jesus died. We remember when Jesus rose again. There are lots of different holy days in the church, and Christmas is one of those. And so it's actually a really kind and faithful and respectful thing if we say happy holidays, because we're wishing people a happy holy day. And it is a holy season. Between November 20th and January 14th, there are 14 different religious holidays, right? There's the whole season of Advent. There's Christmas Day. There's Epiphany. Our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate Hanukkah. And so there are lots of special days in there. And so when you say happy holidays, it means happy holy days. Whatever those holy days are, we are offering that to people. So I came up with some more words to Maddie's song, and I wondered if you'd like to learn it with me. Maybe the congregation can too. What do you think? So the first part is, "Holidays, holidays, holidays of love." That's from Jingle Bells. You want to try it with me? "Holidays, holidays, holidays of love." And then I this next part I wrote, we'll see if it works. "Jesus came to show the world God's love, and we will too." Yay! Want to try it? "Jesus came to show the world God's love, and we will too." Yay! You want to try it one time all together? Should we try it? You ready, Maddie? Should we sing your song? Holidays, holidays, holidays of love. Jesus came to show the world God's love, and we will too. Yay! Holidays, holidays, holidays of love. Jesus came to show the world God's love, and we will too. What do you think? Good job, Maddie. Thank you, Maddie, for helping us sing that song. Let's pray together. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to show God's love. Help us show the world your love every day. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning, and you get to go to Children's Church with Anna today.
I think you have the pink and the white shirt.
I love you.
Is from the third chapter of Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but when we get to the second and third Sundays of Advent each year, John the Baptist disarms me a little bit. I know in my mind that the lectionary texts for these two Sundays of Advent are John the Baptist's words, but still his words seem to me like they're coming out of left field. There's such a disconnection between the appearance and words of John the Baptist and everything else that we are seeing and experiencing in the world around us, right? When we go out from this place, we see red and green everywhere, not Advent blue. When we go out from this place, we hear the major chords of Christmas music, not the minor chords of Advent hymns. The world is filled with twinkle lights and Christmas trees, and none of these things are bad or wrong. They're just night and day different from the words that John the Baptist cries out in the wilderness. Right? We want to focus solely on the first advent of Jesus, when the Word became flesh, but John's words call us to prepare for the second advent of Jesus. His words uncomfortably remind followers of Jesus that the goal of Advent isn't December 25th. The goal of Advent isn't finishing our to-do lists and getting all the gifts bought and wrapped and sending out all of the Christmas cards. He comes on the scene now as then, shocking us out of our comfort zones as he calls us, more accurately, as he demands from us a different kind of preparation in this season. Just like the Old Testament prophets before him, John forces us to examine ourselves and the world. I actually really kind of like John the Baptist, quirks and all, crazy clothes, crazy diet and all. And I think one of the reasons I love him most is that he knew who he was, which means he knew who he wasn't, right? He said to the people, I'm not the Messiah. Instead, he told them, I'm the voice in the wilderness. He knew that God had called him to point people to the Messiah, but he wasn't the Messiah. He told them that he was that voice. He knew that he was to point people to Jesus. And as I was making my way on social media this week, trying to find some inspiration of something, one of the pastors I follow posted this. He said it's important that John the Baptist knew who he was and who he wasn't. He said every day, we need to get more clear about who we are and who we aren't. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves living a life God never called us to live. Ooh. Talking about some words stopping me in my tracks. Every day we need to get clear about who we are and who we aren't. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves living a life God never called us to live. I wonder if part of our Advent preparations, if part of our preparing the way for Jesus to come, is to become clearer about who we are and clearer about who we aren't. Because if we're holding on to something so tightly, of who we aren't, it could be taking up space in our lives that we should be allowing Jesus to enter. Every day we need to get clear about who we are and who we aren't. And how do we think about this individually and collectively as a church community? Well, who we are a faithful community. We are a faithful community of folks who follow the way of Jesus. I have the honor of being your pastor and seeing the ways that you faithfully show up for one another and the ways that you faithfully and generously serve God and others. You're deeply generous, whether it's giving to the backpack program or sponsoring an Angel Tree kiddo, whether it's giving to the pastor's discretionary fund. You are a community that loves and cares for each other deeply, more than any other congregation I've been a part of. You take so seriously the fact that we are a church family. You show up for each other. You pray for each other. You support one another. You love and care for one another deeply. This is who we are. And every day, we need to get clear about who we are and who we aren't, but it's harder to be clear about who we aren't. Not that it's harder to discern who we aren't, but it's harder to acknowledge who we aren't, because so often there is grief associated with that. So who Holly Grove is today in December of 2024, as we head into 2025, isn't the Holly Grove Lutheran Church of the past. And I know for many of you that is sad, and you carry and hold grief for that. You hold who Holly Grove used to be with great fondness. But that's not who we are anymore. I saw a quote on Facebook that says, "The church of the past isn't coming back, but Jesus is." But the church of the past isn't. We aren't the Holly Grove that was around in the 1950s or 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s and 2000s. We're not even the Holly Grove that we were in 2019, pre-COVID. And even though it's really hard sometimes to be clear about who we are and who we aren't, it's important. Because otherwise we might be living a life that God is not calling us to live. On a very regular basis, many of you remind me of who Holly Grove used to be. And I know that it's not ill-intentioned. It's because you hold that with fondness and you have sadness that it's not that anymore. And so I try to hold space for that. But the Holly Grove of the present isn't the Holly Grove of the past. And the truth is, if we are constantly comparing Holly Grove of the present to Holly Grove of the past, we're not helping ourselves, and I don't think we're being faithful to the work that God is calling us to do now. Not only has the church changed, the world has changed so much in the last 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years. And from my vantage point, from my perspective, I really don't think it's a bad thing that we aren't who we were. I mean, if you think back to 10 and 15 and 20 years ago, there were some pretty difficult conflicts in this congregation. Right at that time, there were some unhealthy individuals in leadership positions, and they weren't leading this congregation faithfully. If you think back to 15 or 20 years ago, I would have never been called to serve as pastor of this congregation because there were some loud voices of people who did not want a female pastor. And even if I had been called, I wouldn't have been received well by quite a few people. In fact, as it was when I was voted to become pastor here in December of 2020, there were 5 no votes. For the sole reason that I'm a female. In December of 2020, 5 years ago, there are still people who, without even knowing who I am, didn't want me to be their pastor because I'm a female. I think there are a lot of good things about the present, and it's not a bad thing that we aren't who we were. We've grown and we've changed, and we are seeking to live faithfully in the present and be the body of Christ that God calls us to be now. Right? The Holly Grove of the past probably wouldn't be okay with children participating and leading worship in the way that they do. The Holly Grove of the past wouldn't be okay with Sawyer helping me hand out gluten-free wafers, because the Holly Grove of the past didn't even have gluten-free wafers, even though people needed them, right? The Holly Grove of the past wouldn't let one of the youngest of our disciples be himself in worship. And think of all that would not have happened to us as a congregation as we've witnessed that and in his little life. It's not a bad thing that we aren't who we were, because from my vantage point, we are faithfully living in the present. We are faithfully being who God calls us to be now. We are welcoming to all, no matter who they are or where they are. We want them to worship with us and to be present and experience God among us. And what ends up happening is that we get to experience God in them. We are a community that is convinced and committed to being a community of believers who, even though we may disagree on a lot of things, especially politics, first and foremost, we love each other, and we have committed to disagree with one another with respect and kindness, because we don't want the division of the world to enter into our community and into the life that we live together. I know it's easy to compare to the past. I know it is. But I really don't think it's helpful, because it diminishes who we are in the present. And we are a faithful and loving church family and community. And so it's okay to be clear about who we are and who we aren't, because it helps us to live more faithfully into the call that God has upon us as individuals and a community. And so, may God give us all the grace this season to help us look inward, to be brutally honest with ourselves and each other about who we are, and to be clear about who we aren't, to grieve if that's needed, but then to be able to move on faithfully and be the church and followers of Jesus that we're called to be right now, today. May God give us the grace to do just that, and may we give it to ourselves and to one another. Amen.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence. Refining God, move through your church, root out practices that harm your people, and kindle a fire for sharing the gospel among bishops, pastors, deacons, and all the baptized. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Renewing God, transform your creation. Steer us from habits that harm what you have made, and guide us in practices that preserve and restore creatures and habitats. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Ruling God, teach the nations your ways. Strengthen organizations and communities that broker peace and care for refugees, immigrants, and all caught in the center of conflict. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Rescuing God, restore your people who are in any need. Heal all who are suffering, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Keith, Lori, Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Provide comfort and strength and nurture, sustain wholeness for the future. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayers.
Reforming God, fill this congregation with your presence. Enrich our seasonal preparations, and bless the efforts of musicians, staff, clergy, and lay leaders as they work in the weeks ahead. Lord, in your mercy, reassuring God, we remember those who have died and rest in you. Guide us in deep gratitude for their life, and allow us to learn from their faithful witness. Lord, in your mercy,
Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God feeds us with tender mercy. Come to the table.
Thank you. Thank you.
stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name. Amen. God of endings and beginnings, God in the darkness and the light, God our hope for the journey, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and to respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, filled with your hope.